Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly
right. It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
I always have the privilege of knowing what you want to talk about beforehand, so that's why I'm laughing. But
you're clairvoyant.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too. Although I don't know if you saw that just recently the most fascinating little piece of news out of North Korea, that in March, two fortune tellers were publicly... publicly executed for...
Really?
Yeah.
For telling fortunes?
Yeah.
Wow.
For being clairvoyant. But they made sure that there was a massive audience to deter people from seeking that sort of guidance.
Yeah, because God forbid that somebody should say, dear leader's not going to be in his overlarge seat for many more years.
For example.
But I don't think it takes Miss Cleo to figure that out.
Well, you know, even Miss Cleo got herself into difficulty, but that's really the difference between here and there, right?
True. This is true.
All right. So because I am also clairvoyant, I know that what you want to touch upon is something that there's an example of, I would say, every 15 seconds. And it could change. This is one of those things that could really change.
It's easy to fix.
Right.
You just have to want to do it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've walked through stores and seen stuff slip off of hangers, you know, when people just walk by.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the big deal? Pick it up, put it in the hanger,
hang the hanger up
on the rack.
Right.
And, you know, people look at you when you do that like, well, why'd you do that? You didn't knock it off. It's like, I didn't, but it's still on the floor and somebody's going to have to pick it up. And doesn't it look nicer when it's on the rack the way it's supposed to be? You know, would you want to buy something that has been sitting in the dust on the floor?
That someone's been walking on? Right.
You know, as opposed to doing what the kids call the 5-second rule and picking it up, shaking it off, and putting it back. Or, you know, in the grocery store when somebody's put something that's clearly in the wrong space and it's only half a foot away. It's just put it in the right space. Or worse, you know, when it falls, again, off the shelf, you know, pick it up and put it away. Why is that such a... And kids will say, well, I didn't do that. It's not mine. Why are you doing that? It's like, it's not yours. It's not mine. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And also, the world kind of runs better when things are in their place.
And what I...
Yes, Marie Kondo, you're right.
but the thing that I'm baffled... This is the thing that's a little bit weird. Okay, so suddenly people are discovering... I use the word suddenly in quotes. People are discovering, for example, the Marie Kondo way. All right, that way, I'm really happy for her, but that way has been available to anyone who chose to avail themselves of it for a while.
Yeah, it's the stuff your grandmother kept telling you when you were little.
Pretty much.
Put it back in its place and put it back where it belongs. But I think, you know, just like a psychotherapist will tell you, I don't know, you don't need to go out with married men, or you don't need to be mean to your child, or you don't need to stay in a job you hate if you have other options. We tend to listen to other people more than we listen to ourselves, even when they're telling us the same thing, and especially when we're paying them money to tell us this.
Do you think it's about paying the money? Because, you know, the supermarket thing is so obvious. Driving is so obvious. There's here, and it has nothing. It doesn't hold a candle to what it's like in L.A. But there's such a level of unconsciousness of your fellow in strapped into something that is on top of a gasoline engine in most cases that's just metal, that it's kind of, hey, people, there's really a difference between your virtual universe and your actual universe, and the sooner you kind of wake up and notice that there's some other people around, it might be better for everybody.
Well, especially if the other people are on bicycles or walking.
For example.
They don't have the protection that you have. But, I mean, I think part of what happens with driving is it's not even unconsciousness, although there is some of that. I think part of it is I'm just not going to let them get ahead of me. I'm tired of people taking advantage of me. So, lady in the luxury SUV who's just sort of blithely pushing in ahead of me as the road narrows, you know, my car is not worth that, but you're wrong. You're supposed to yield, so I'm going to keep going. Well, where does that get you? That gets you in a fender bender that backs up traffic for half a mile, that gets the cops called out because you can't disentangle and makes everybody late for work. Was it really worth it? You know? But I don't think we think of that all the time. I think we think, oh, she thinks she's better than me because she's got this big fancy car and that I'll just yield because her car is more expensive than mine and she has important things to do. Not today, lady. It's just, you know, it's kind of asking for trouble.
Right. And it's kind of, let's just say that, what is that? What is the old percent? What is the old 90% of life is maintenance and 10% is your attitude about it? Now,
I had never heard that before.
It's the maintenance can get pretty tedious.
You know, that's what maintenance is for the most part.
That's what maintenance is for the most part. But that's not an excuse in let's just say in the vast majority of cases. It's not an excuse to go out and take that understandable frustration just by being less than conscious in a public setting. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know, sure, you pick up an orange from the nice stack in the supermarket and 26
and everything falls
down, and you just want to strangle somebody.
Yeah, then you pick it up.
Then
you
pick it up.
Or if you're lucky, the nice
helpful
stock boy comes by and says, "Oh, miss, you don't need to do that. I'll do it." And it's like, well, I knocked the ball off, and he goes, "Oh, it's okay. I'll do it." You know, you'd be surprised how many people don't even attempt. Easy enough to be the person that attempts.
That's and I think that's the point of this particular exercise. Easy enough to be the person that attempts, or the person that's mildly awake, or the person that, if nothing else, and this is a real wonder to me because, you know, I'm mildly focused on the whole inadvertent sweep up of the college admissions situation.
But
simply because no one expected to get caught. No one remotely expected to get caught. The thing, one of the elements that I find most fascinating is that there were essentially the equivalent of very rousing talks given by this person to all sorts of highly placed executives about how to get the kids into college, how to do this. And it's what I get absolutely stuck on is, okay, didn't anybody think that this might be incorrect? And
I think it's like the lady in the Escalade, you know, it's like I have the wherewithal and I'm going to insist on having it done my way. They want what they want, but the world basically doesn't work that way, or tends
still doesn't.
Yeah,
I mean, even Julian Assange had to leave the embassy at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you knew that was going to happen. You just didn't know when.
Right.
Now he has.
7 years is a good long run, but the point is, all positioning aside, you knew it was going to happen. You just didn't know when. And there are so many situations of, you know it's going to happen, you just don't know when. Why don't you take steps prior to? He's like, you don't want to be the one who's sitting there when it happens.
Yeah, also, I mean, this is slightly different, but maybe help it not happen. I'm thinking of the people who see, like, a toddler break away from his mother and go barreling towards the sliding glass doors, and the doors aren't open. You know what's going to happen if that kid hits the door. So, you know, if you can step in front of their the door to go, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, don't run from mom, and you're going to hit your head, and this is going to hurt. Or, you know, even grab him before he gets there. And I know people are hesitant to do that because you don't want to seem like a creepy, pervy person. But I'm betting, I mean, every time I've done it, and granted, part of it is because I'm a woman and I look relatively harmless and I'm short. So I think they're probably looking at me like this is not going to be, you know, a child molester or a stalker of children. But it's like, you know, hand on the shoulder or, you know, catching them by the back of the pants or whatever and turning them towards mom and saying, you really don't want to split your head open. And mom going, oh, my God, thank you, because we would have been in the emergency room, as opposed to the person who just sits by and watches going, yeah, I'm not going to get involved in that because, you know, mom could holler for the police or do whatever. It's like, really? Come on. You know, if you see somebody struggling up a flight of stairs with a stroller or with a, you know, with packages and a cane or a walker, offer to carry something. You know, why is it a big deal?
Yeah, and it's just almost been this sort of lack of, I'm going to call it lack of conscientiousness or lack of just helpfulness, has it's been allowed to slide for so long. And I'm not saying everybody does it. There's some there are plenty of people
there
who
are well-mannered people in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not even about manners, it's about human decency.
Right. And same there are kids whose parents raised them to do that. So this is not to them. It's just there are notable exceptions. I mean, and I'm not just talking about, it's just where it's so obvious. Here's a particular bête noire. If you are not paying attention, it's very easy to let a door slam in someone's face if someone's right behind you.
Yes.
Just a regular door to the extra mart, for example. And, you know, that's totally avoidable. Totally avoidable. Easy enough to say, oh, sorry, if you do it. Or, yeah. God forbid, hold the door open. You know, it's
yeah.
not... It's,
or my favorite, you hold the door open for them and they just sail through. Like,
right.
This is your job. So don't miss. You forgot to tip me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it never fails to just, you know, frost me when I see it's like, oh, I'm going to help by opening the door, and you're going to help by not even acknowledging my presence. Not even, you know,
not even saying thanks.
Have to say thank you. It's just, okay, you know, notice that there's another human being on the other side that kept the door from flapping
right.
in your face.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And so, I mean, that is somewhat circular, but that ends up with, you know, this is why people are just like, forget it. But that's not a good enough
it's
excuse.
It's true. But
yes.
Resist the temptation.
Right.
Resist the temptation. Listen to your grandmother's voice. Listen to your grandmother's voice and, you know, open the door, help the toddler, take the other end of the stroller and let the, you know, get the lady over the curb. Let the, you know, help the elderly man across the street. We all don't have to be Boy Scouts. We don't have to have been Boy Scouts or, in my case, Girl Scouts. To do that, but it's just nicer if you do. And to the lady in the white Escalade, say thank you to the person that holds the door, and don't push your way into the traffic line, because one day the shiny surface of that car is going to be marred by somebody who cares even less than you do.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.